Welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David begins a new series for the season of Lent as he begins to look at wisdom. Let's listen.
What is wisdom? And we all know what knowledge is. You can read a textbook and gain more knowledge. But sometimes having knowledge isn't enough. Being wise is knowing how to actually live by the knowledge that you acquire. So Bailey, that was just spot on. Thank you so much. So we're speaking of wisdom. And to that end, I've got some wise sayings for you this morning. Here's the first one. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Oh, you've probably heard that before, right? Even though that's a little bit of a strange saying. I mean, when do we ever talk about having birds in our hand versus looking for them in bushes? That's not really a common way that we talk these days, but there's a reason that we all know that phrase. It's because our culture has a collection of wise sayings. And these sayings are universally recognized as, hey, this is a wise way to live. So for this particular saying, the meaning is to be content with what you have, rather than risk what you have for additional gain. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, we've got all sorts of wise sayings like this in our culture. Here's another one, for example. A penny saved is a penny earned. That's exactly right. We all have heard that before, haven't we? How have we all heard the same thing? It's because our culture has universally recognized wise sayings. Of course, that saying means that you won't have to spend as much time earning money if you are equally good at saving what you earn. Okay, here's one more. I bet you can finish this one for me. Don't believe everything you... That's exactly right. Don't believe everything you hear. Yeah, we've probably been told that before by our parents or teachers, and basically what that means is be discerning with the information that you choose to accept as truth. Don't believe everything you hear. Okay, I think it's fascinating that our culture has universally accepted wise sayings, and the reason I want you thinking about that is because we are starting in this season of Lent to study wisdom. That's why we have the bookshelf up. That's why we got the globe, the books. Every time you see those, I want you to think, ooh, wisdom. Wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? And at the end of this season of Lent, I really hope that all of us who are here today and all of us who are watching online after 40 days, that we will be more wise and discerning people. That is the goal of this study. So what do we mean when we say wisdom? What's a good definition? Well, one I came across that I really resonate with is this. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So it's all three of those things working in tandem with one another. Experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It's not just having one of those or two of those, but all three of those things and then acting on those in your life. I think that's a really good definition of wisdom. Now, the challenge is that we live in a world that is deeply skeptical of information, don't we? And we live in a world that is right now very skeptical of authority and anything that puts itself forward as an authority. But also, on the flip side of that, we are bombarded every week with thousands of opinions that are put forth as truth. And then we have to discern through those opinions to say, okay, well, what do I believe? What is actually wise? What is leading me into wise living? So that's what we really have to start with when we are thinking through wisdom, is the question of how do we know what is wise? How do we discern through all the voices we hear, all that's out there, that is telling us what to believe, how do we actually discern what it is that is wise? Well, we are so lucky that we have a book in the Bible that is completely dedicated to wisdom. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And Proverbs will be really the foundational book that we study this season of Lent. So let's begin reading the book of Proverbs, and let's see if we can be wise people throughout this season. Okay, I want to first determine who this book was written to. Well, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 begins in this way: "My son." So you can see that the book of Proverbs, it's addressed to my son. Now you might be saying, well, whose son is this? Well, King Solomon is the person who wrote the book of Proverbs. If you're familiar in the Bible with King David, well, Solomon is David's son. And so Solomon is now writing to his son. And it's as if he's putting together this collection of Proverbs, all of these kind of wise sayings, and he's passing them down to his son, saying, I want you to know what I've learned over the course of my life. I want you to imagine that you're 18 years old. You're about to leave the house. Maybe you're going to go to college, or maybe you're going to start a new job. Maybe you're moving to a new city. You're embarking on something new, charting your own course. But before you go, your dad sits you down. And your dad says, hey, I want to teach you what I've learned. I want to pass down some of the wisdom that I've gained before you go and create your own life. That's a little bit like what the book of Proverbs is doing, where King Solomon is saying, okay, my son, here's what I've learned, and here's what I want you to know moving forward. Now, in subsequent generations, after King Solomon lived, the people who read this book took my son to be much more generic. Well, they said, well, we're all sons and daughters of King Solomon, meaning that we should all have the posture of a youth that is eager to learn from a wise parent. So won't you adopt that posture this Lenten season? May we all be like wise youth who are eager to learn from someone who is a little bit further along in the journey than we are. Solomon is addressing these proverbs to my son, and here's what he tells him. He says, my son, if you accept my words and store up commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Okay, we're going to pause there because I want you to notice how many times Solomon used the word if. He used it 3 times in 4 verses. And the reason is Solomon is saying wisdom is contingent. If, right? If you do these things, then you will be able to follow the path to wisdom in your life. What Solomon's saying here is that wisdom is not just inherited. I mean, you're not born with wisdom. Wisdom doesn't just happen to people who really want to be wise and say, okay, today I'm going to wake up and be wise. No, wisdom is contingent. If. And wisdom, in particularly, is given to those who pursue it. That's the point that Solomon's making in these first opening verses of chapter 2, that wisdom is given to those who pursue it. Did you notice all the action words, all those verbs that Solomon used? He said, turn your ear to wisdom, meaning listen to the wise voices in your life, the voices that you know speak truth. He says, cry out for insight and understanding. Cry out. There's that action word. Be active in seeking wisdom and enlightenment in your life. He says, look for wisdom as if it was as valuable as silver. And search for it like it was some hidden treasure. Yes, that's how much you should value this pursuit of wisdom. Well, if we think of that, we think, who among us doesn't want to become wise? I mean, I think all of us do. And Solomon is saying that the first step to becoming wise people is choosing to pursue wisdom. It is it's a choice that we all get to make. And so I encourage all of us today to make that choice today, to say, I'm going to pursue wisdom this season of Lent. I'm going to cry out for insight. I am going to turn my ear to wisdom. I'm going to search for wisdom as if it was as valuable as silver. Can we do that? That's our mindset that we want to have throughout this series. Well, what will happen if we do? What will happen if we choose to pursue wisdom with all the vigor and energy that Solomon is enlisting here and describing? Well, here's what he says next in verse 5. He says, if you pursue wisdom in these ways, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All right, in about 2 weeks, we're going to explore pretty in-depth that phrase, the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to leave that one to the side for this morning. But I want to focus on that next phrase that Solomon says, that if you pursue wisdom, you will find the knowledge of God. What does Solomon mean here by the knowledge of God? Well, here's what Solomon doesn't mean. Solomon doesn't mean that we're all of a sudden going to know everything. We're going to know all the secrets of the world. We're going to be as knowledgeable as God. No, that's not what Solomon is saying. That's not the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, though, is a lot more practical than that. Think back to what Bailey said during the children's message. Wisdom allows us to live the life that God wants us to live. And so the knowledge of God that we are going to find here is a practical knowledge. It's a knowledge of how God wants us to live and who God wants us to be. Or in another way, here's the definition that I wrote up this week. The knowledge of God is living this life with the knowledge of how God wants us to live. It is a here and now type of wisdom, which means that wisdom is not some abstract knowledge that you're never going to actually use in your life. No, wisdom is interested in who you are today and who you are becoming in God. That is real wisdom. I'm sure we can all think of a class we've sat in before, and you've thought to yourself, when am I ever going to use this? I mean, for me, that was probably geometry. And I thought, when am I going to use this? Creating a proof? I'm not going to create a proof in my life. The wisdom of God and the knowledge of God is not like that. It's not something you have to wonder, is this really going to be applicable to my day-to-day life? No, the knowledge of God and the pursuit of wisdom is a deeply practical wisdom that will change how you live today. So, we know that we need to pursue wisdom, and we know where wisdom will lead. It will lead to the knowledge of God, but where does wisdom come from? Well, that's where Solomon goes next. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Yes, wisdom comes from God. And as you pursue wisdom, you are also pursuing God, who is the source of all wisdom. Solomon then describes the reality of a person who is pursuing wisdom. Notice how many protective words are used. Did you notice that the first time? God acts as a shield for the blameless. God guards the course of the just. God protects the way of the faithful. Shields, guards, protects. What is all this protection from? I mean, those who walk, the path of wisdom, those who pursue the knowledge of God. God's talking about all this protection, but what are you being protected from? Well, the book of Proverbs goes on to say that we are protected from foolishness. Yes, foolishness is proposed as the opposite of wisdom. What this verse is saying is that God realizes that left to our own devices, we're going to make some foolish choices. And God, in encouraging us to walk the path of wisdom, is seeking to protect us from our own foolish choices. Let me give you an example of one of my own foolish choices. I'm sure you can all think of foolish choices you've made in your life, but I'm going to start us off in imagining what a foolish choice looks like. So before COVID, I was invited by a father and son in this congregation to go mountain biking. I love everything active. And so I said, yes, I want to go. I want to go mountain biking. That sounds great. I had not gone mountain biking for years. Okay, it had been a very long time. But we got on the trail, and the wise thing would have been for me to just ease my way in, right? To start slow, make sure I kind of got used to what mountain biking was, because again, I had not done it for years. That would have been the wise thing. I chose the foolish option. And the foolish option was to just start pedaling as fast as I possibly could to keep up with everybody else, acting as if I was an expert mountain biker. Well, I kid you not, it was less than a minute from when we first started that I turned a corner and the trail unexpectedly dipped and my tire kind of hit a dip in a funky way and I found myself hurled over my handlebars. Now, if that's ever happened to you before, I wonder if this is applicable to you, where I'm midair and my feet are not on the pedals anymore and I'm tumbling over the bike. And I can explicitly remember having a thought in that moment. And the thought was, are you kidding me? Did I really just do this? Like, am I, after a minute of mountain biking, flipping myself over my handlebars? How foolish am I? That was the thought that went through my head, and then the impact, of course, on the ground. Luckily, my ego was more hurt than anything other than some bumps and bruises, and I could get up and go much slower the rest of the way around the mountain bike. But that was a foolish choice. I could have started off slow, right, with some humility as I began mountain biking. I bet you can think of your own foolish choices, can't you? You can think of times where you're like, I should not say that thing. I'm going to say it, though. And it slips out, and then you think later on, that was foolish. I should not have said that. Or those times where you let loose a little bit too much. Or those times where you choose immediate gratification over the long-term benefits that you know you should wait for. Yes, we all have ample experience with choosing the foolish path. But what God's encouraging us to do is to say, hey, left to our own devices, that's what we're prone to do. We're prone to choose foolishness. But what if we pursue wisdom? What if we pursue wise living? What if we pursue the knowledge of God? How is that, on a practical day-to-day level, how is that going to change how we live? Well, I'll tell you one way. You're going to spend a lot less time getting flipped over the handlebars of life. Because when we choose wisdom, we're not going to have to deal with nearly as many consequences, the natural consequences that come from living foolishly in our own foolish choices. So all those protection words that God uses, God uses them as a natural way of saying, if you choose the wise way to live, it's naturally going to have benefits in your own life. Now, Solomon concludes this whole section with a really beautiful kind of conclusion to his thought of pursuing wisdom. Here's what he says. He says, if you do this, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good track. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I want you to take a look for a second at that first line again. When Solomon says that by following what is right and just and fair, what we'll be doing is following every good track. So that word there for track, every good track, what the Hebrew word has in mind is kind of like a wagon track or a cart, a well-worn road. We got a picture of what that looks like. You've probably seen something like this before in your life where you can see where the wagon has gone. You can see the wheel tracks going down that path. That's the good track or the well-worn path. And what Solomon is saying is that this path is like the path of wisdom. That's the path that we are seeking to pursue, where you can see it. You know that it's there, but there's also a lot of overbrush, isn't there, and underbrush. There's a lot of places where you can stumble off of the path, where you can end up going your own way. And what Solomon is saying is that if you follow the well-worn path, which is the path of following what is right and just and fair, well, then you're going to be following that the wisdom that God is seeking for us. But if we get off the path, which we are prone to do, that's when we end up in the foolish choices. And the choices that do not help us become the people that God wants us to be, or God is creating us to be. So Solomon kind of ends this first introduction to wisdom by saying, can't we pursue it as if it was one of the most valuable things in the world? As if it was hidden treasure. And as we pursue it, picture it like a well-worn path that has been walked by generations of people before you that have chosen to live for something important, that have chosen the wise path. Because when we do that, we won't have to deal nearly as much with the consequences of our own foolish choices. But instead, we will begin to find the knowledge of God. That's Solomon's opening pitch when it comes to wisdom. Now, over the course of the next 40 days, we are going to really get some in-depth understanding of what wisdom is. But this is like the beginning introduction of Solomon simply encouraging us in that posture of a son learning from a father before setting out on our own life. It's like we're sitting here, we're about to set out on our week or whatever our day holds, and Solomon's saying, pursue wisdom. Make that your goal this week. Pursue the wise choices. So I've got to that end, with Solomon introducing all this, I've got an introductory challenge for you. And the challenge is to pick one thing this week that will increase your wisdom and one thing this week that will decrease your foolishness. Now, here's what I mean by that. The increase is maybe you can increase the amount of time you spend in a wise relationship. You all know those relationships where you have those friendships and you go, I just feel like this friendship is helping me be more the person I want to be. This conversation is helping me become a more wise person. So increase a little bit, maybe the time in that relationship. Or maybe the increase is taking on a Bible study. Or it's choosing a book that you know is going to help you increase in wisdom, insight, and understanding in the faith, and it's choosing to read that book. Choose some way to increase in wisdom. And then also choose one way to decrease our own natural foolish choices. So maybe that's cutting out a particular foolish voice in your life where you know, okay, if I listen to this voice, it gets me in trouble. I shouldn't be listening to this voice. And it's decreasing that volume of that voice in your life. Maybe it's turning off the TV or switching the channel from a particular channel where you're like, that doesn't help me become the person I want to be. Maybe it's spending less time on particular websites. Whatever it is for you, it's decreasing the things that lead to foolish choices. Increase and decrease. That is our goal today as we begin this journey of pursuing wisdom with all of the vigor and energy that we can muster.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.